want your blessings, you got to learn how to get past people. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of John with me, the 5th chapter of the Gospel of John. 5th chapter, the Gospel of John. Amen. And when you have that, say amen. As we go before the Lord here. Amen. Amen. A positive thinking series, getting past people. Amen. This is the 3rd part of our series. Amen. John chapter 5 reads this, and you can read along with me as I'm reading in the New International Version. Verses 1 through 8. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem near the sheep gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. He was incapable. He was paralyzed by something. And he had been there 38 years. Verse 6 says, when Jesus saw him lying there, and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." When Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk," at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. He picked up his mat and walked. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Lord, every time that I want to get down, someone else goes before me. We ought to learn how to get past people. By the raising of your right hand, I want you to repeat these words of faith affirmation. Insecurity is a function of fear.
Insecurity is a function of fear.
Fear is an attack on obedience.
Fear is an attack on obedience.
Perfect love casts out fear.
Perfect love casts out fear.
Fearing worships Satan as God.
Fearing worships Satan as God.
I declare today.
I declare today.
Fear will have no power.
Fear will have no power.
Over my mind.
Over my mind.
My emotions.
My emotions.
And desires.
And desires.
People are not an obstacle to my destiny.
People are not an obstacle to my destiny.
I'm the catalyst to ignite my blessings.
I'm the catalyst to ignite my blessings.
Faith now accomplishes success tomorrow.
Faith now accomplishes success for tomorrow.
I'm commanded to go forth and make disciples.
I'm commanded to go forth and make disciples.
One more time, say it in the atmosphere so Satan can hear you. Insecurity is a function of fear.
Insecurity is a function of fear.
Fear is an attack on obedience.
Fear is an attack on obedience.
Perfect love casts out fear.
Perfect love casts out fear.
Fearing worships Satan as God.
Fearing worships Satan as God.
I declare today.
I declare today.
Fear will have no power.
Fear will have no power.
Over my mind.
Over my mind.
My emotions.
My emotions.
And desires.
And desires.
People are not an obstacle to my destiny.
People are not an obstacle to my destiny.
I'm the catalyst to ignite my blessings. Faith now accomplishes success tomorrow.
Faith now accomplishes success tomorrow.
I'm commanded to go forth and make disciples.
I'm commanded to go forth and make disciples.
Amen. God is good. That's good. By saying these faith affirmations, we speak life into the atmosphere, the surroundings that we are in. Amen. And as our text goes, it tells us about an individual who is dealing with some social circumstances. You might be dealing with some social circumstances. It might not necessarily be you are incapacitated, or you are missing a limb, or you are relying on a cane or a wheelchair or things in that nature, or you're deaf in one ear or anything like that. But what our text takes us to, it takes us to whatever is in the way, whatever is paralyzing you, you can get past that. But as we see in our text, it is basically this invalid man or this paralyzed man, there's something he has to overcome. And what he has to overcome in our text, it says, people. It says in verse 5, it says, one who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? And his reply was, sir, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Now I want you to get your pads and your pencils or pens out, and I want to give you seven ways to get past people. Seven ways to get past people. One is, stop relying on others for faith that is in yourself. The best way to self-recovery is to do it yourself. Relying on others for what you can do for yourself is the best remedy for self-recovery. You have to break through that barrier. It's not an external force that this man is experiencing. And then again, it could be an external force. But ultimately, it's not an external force. It is an internal situation or internal issue that he is dealing with that he can't overcome and get past people. Uh-huh. One of the things in the external force, it says that everybody else waits for the time of the year for the water to be troubled. And they believe that that's what a miracle is. They wait till they see the water. See, around this colonnade or down this pool, people were to get healed. And God will come down, or an angel will come down at a certain time every year. And he's looking at everybody else. Why are you looking at everybody else? Point one is, to get past people, is you got to have faith in yourself. You know, fearing your own failure. Here's this man, he says, I have nobody to help me. What's one is, he's fearing his own failure. Because, for one, if someone else helped you and you don't succeed, then you can blame or complain that it was that individual's fault. And therefore, you don't have to take the fault upon yourself. The second thing is that you probably can't get to having faith in yourself is because you worry about what other people think of you. 38 years this man has been here. If you constantly worrying about what everybody else think of you, then you become a worry freak socially. You can't worry about what other people think of you. They're going to think of you good or bad no matter what it is. If you're on top of the world, they're going to have something to say. If you're not on top of the world, they're going to have something to say. You have to get past. This is an inner issue that this man here lying at the pool had. It wasn't everybody else.
Sometimes we're worried about what other people think of our vision, what other people will think. It could be we're worried about what a coworker will say, what a spouse might say, what a friend might say, what you know, your mother might say, or your brothers might say, or your pastor might say. You have to get past having people's faith that they have for themselves to help you. Some of you cannot get past and do the things that God wants you to do is because you're intimidated by public approval. You're sitting there and you're waiting for the public to give you approval to let you know that you can do this, you can do that.
Okay, okay, yes sir, that's good.
You ain't got to go to school to be able to write a book. You ain't got to be able to go to school to launch a successful business. It is the vision that God gives you and how He gives it to you and your obedience to that vision that actualizes that assignment and that blessing that is supposed to come upon your life. You don't have to have an MBA, a master's in business, to start a business. You don't have to have a lot of money to start. It starts with a vision. It starts with writing down your vision and a statement of your goal of that vision, and you going out and you doing it. Faith brings to life into your pathway those things. It is not people. People can't get you there, but you can get there. Some of you are thinking right now, if I only had this degree, I would be in a better place. Not so. Find out what God wants you to do in life. Find out what you love, how much of it you love. Find out your gift area, and you go for it. What I'm saying is this man says, I have no one to help me. People are not going to help you. I'm sorry to break your bubble. People are not here on earth to help you. There are some that are staged along the route in your life that are there to help you, but everybody is not going to help you. How can the sick help the sick? Everybody sitting around that pool had some kind of condition for themselves, and everybody else was going for themselves. And here's this man asking somebody to help him along the way. Folks aren't there to help your vision to come to fruition. Folks are not there to help you succeed. Stop relying on faith in other people, which you can do in yourselves. Amen.
Amen.
Well, how does other people do it? He had to learn, or you got to learn from the atmosphere that you're in. You got to look at your surroundings. Look at what is everyone else doing. How to help you obtain and get to the blessing that everybody else being blessed. How did Bill Gates do it? How did Michael Jordan do it? How did Oprah Winfrey do it? How did Tyler Perry do it? How did some of these famous people do it in the arts? How did some of the famous people do it in the movies? How do some of these famous people do it in business? Look at your surroundings. Look at the method. The method of how they do it. One, maybe it is. Maybe there is a little bit of schooling you have to do. I'm not knocking schooling out of it, but I'm trying to say don't use the school as a point that you can't get up and do for yourself. And God sometimes put roadblocks in there. The very ones that you think will help you, He allowed them not to because you're depending on them and not Him. That's why this man couldn't get to the point of his healing, because he kept looking at other people rather than God Himself. When you get to the point that God becomes the total person that you rely on because He's given this vision to you and He wants you to go for, then the doors are going to start opening. Then He'll place people along the route to help you get this promise in your life off the ground. Look at the method of how they do it. Sometimes you got to prioritize that goal, that vision. Sometimes you got to chop it up into sections. It ain't going to happen all at once. So you want to go to school. Yes, you can go to school, and you will go to school. How does it start? Sometimes it starts by looking at the plan that you're making. The plan can be, let me look at credits. Let me look what I have in the past schools that I've been going to. Look at all of that. Maybe you want to transfer to another school. Maybe you want to get something, make something bigger. Maybe you want to change your major or something like that. It starts little. Well, I'm nearing retirement now. Now it's time for me to look into schooling. Okay, first thing you're going to do is pick out the school you want to go to. Second thing you're going to do, look how much money that they're going to give you. Maybe in loans or maybe in 9/11 GI Bill. Look at those kind of things. Start small. Start small. Start making stepping stones. Making stepping stone is no less than the vision. It is the process to your vision. It is the process to your blessings. Amen?
Amen.
Look at their method. Break it into segments. Look at the time. The time it takes you to get to this certain goal. The time it takes you to finish this certain part of your vision or part of your goal. Look at the time. Look at your surroundings. Let the atmosphere and your surroundings determine to you the method that everybody else is using. Because I'm certainly on their way to their blessings. They knew that there was a particular time that this water would be moved. So if this impotent man had a 2 mile hike, so to speak, to get to inside the pool, he should have started somewhere in that month to make sure he got closer to the edge. But that probably wasn't the problem. Write this down. How to get past people. 7 points of how to get past people. It's natural to turn to others for help. That's what we do. We need to be encouraged sometimes. We need to be validated at times. We need to let people need to make us feel that it's all right. And that's all right to get help from people. The number one thing is, one way to get past people is stop telling people about your goals. Stop telling them about your vision. Stop feeding them the plan that God has for you, particularly if those people don't care anything about you, or if they are not a part of the process that you have to go to get to this goal and vision. Stop telling people about your vision. Because what it does, it creates a network for them to set obstacles in your way. So every year, this man has been trying to get there for 38 years, and every time he tries to get there, he says someone else comes and steps down before him. See, Satan will set up a network of obstacles when you tell a jealous person that you're going to do this. When you tell a scandalous person that you're going to do this. When you tell a Jezebelic spirit that you're going to do this, a scandalous person will do power plays to keep you from achieving what you're going to do. And then a jealous person will produce intimidation control to discourage you. For example, if you tell somebody you're going to be a doctor, oh, you ain't going to be able to do that. Ain't nobody in your line a doctor. They'll start discouraging you because they're in a certain place. They haven't gone anywhere. They haven't attempted to go anywhere. Why not discourage you? Misery loves company. To get past people and to reach your destiny and your goal is to stop telling people everything you're going to do. Because when you tell them everything you're going to do, this is what they do. Look in 2 Kings with me. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse number 12. 2 Kings. Now here's a man by his dad had plenty. King Hezekiah was rich and he's wealthy. He had it all, right? But this is what happened. Look in verse 12 of chapter 20 of 2 Kings. At that time, Merodach Baladan, son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent Hezekiah letters and a gift because he had heard of Hezekiah's illness. Hezekiah received the messengers and showed them all that was in his storehouses. The silver, the gold, the spices, and the fine oil, his armory, and everything found among his treasures.
What was the first mistake that Hezekiah did? He's showing his enemies, Babylon, who wanted to conquer Judah, he's showing them everything he got, telling him all his inside secrets and all of the glory and splendor that he has. Then the verse says, there was nothing in his palace or in all his kingdom that Hezekiah did not show them. Why would you tell your enemy exactly what you're going to do, what point you will be at what time you will be at it? When you know somebody has a jealous, scandalous spirit, you can't trust them down the road. Verse 14. Then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and asked, what did these men say and where did they come from? From a distant land, Hezekiah replied. They came from Babylon. The prophet asked, what did they see in your palace? They saw everything in my palace, Hezekiah said. There is nothing among my treasures that I did not show them. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. The time will surely come when everything in your palace and all that your fathers have stored up until this day will be carried off to Babylon. Nothing will be left, says the Lord. And some of your descendants, your own flesh and blood that will be born to you, will be taken away, and they will become eunuchs in the place of the king of Babylon. The word of the Lord have spoken. And that happened. Babylon conquered Judah and Jerusalem. For 70 years they were in captivity. But here is Hezekiah trusting that when they came to him, that they were okay now. They have changed their minds. Oh, they want to become an alliance. They want to become friends. Folks, when you see a duck, it is a duck. When you see a snake, it is a snake. It is not going to change its nature. And quit telling them what you're going to do and how you're going to do. That's point number one of getting past people. Point number two in getting past people. You got to figure out what's holding you back. Point number two is stop being over-dependent. Stop being over-dependent to the point that you're looking for approval for somebody. That means your emotions are caught up into what someone else may and may not care about you. Your emotions, you become worried and obsessed over somebody approving of who you are, what you are, and what you want to become. That's point number two to get past people is don't be cold. Your emotions should not be codependent on them approving of what you are going to do and how you're going to do it.
Yes, sir.
It's an unhealthy thing to put your emotions in the hands of somebody else's judgment or call on your life or call on the steps that you need to take in the process of you getting to your vision, getting to your destiny. There are times we're codependent in ways, but there has to be a balance. If people can set you off by what they think and say, then you're not ready to claim that blessing. You're not ready to go to the next step. Because if God take you to the next step of your blessings or give you your blessings all at once, then that very same person that has control over your emotions will destroy you while you're in your blessing. It's got to be a balance. Don't be overly emotionally worried about this. That means don't look for compliments. Don't look for approval. Don't be have that victim mentality. A victim mentality is based on survival. We have a kingdom mentality. That means we have what God said he was going to give us. He said, where I am, there you may be also. Where's Jesus? He's in his kingdom. We don't have a survival victimized mentality. Satan has been defeated. Why we keep saying Satan did this or they did this to me? Well, they're trying to set me up doing this. They're trying to destroy me. Satan has been defeated. You have to know that. Change your thinking and walk in victory. Saying it and declaring it out of your mouth. Saying, No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every mouth that rise up against me shall be shattered in judgment. You have to claim those blessings. You have to speak them forth so the voice of Satan can be silenced. The third point in getting past people, write that down. The third point of getting past people is you got to identify the specific spirit that attacks you on your way, or that specific spirit that Satan uses. What was the specific spirit of the man that was at the pool of Bethesda that attacked him? Doubt. What else attacked him? He was not confident in himself to do it himself. He's codependent. He's too codependent on them helping him. Or he has a fear of social approval. I'm going to have somebody help me. If I don't make it, hey, we can point the fingers at them. He didn't want to do it in himself. Third point is identify the specific spirit that Satan uses to attack you. Look in 1 Kings chapter 21. We'll find this out. 1 Kings chapter 21. 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 10. And it is Naboth. Naboth was in his blessing moment. He was in his blessing moment. And he had a vineyard with plenty. That means his produce was probably the main source of supply for Judah. Even King Ahab and Jezebel, his wife, had to depend on the main supply that Naboth had because he had a beautiful vineyard. Their wine supply had to come from his products, therefore making him successful, making him live in comfortableness. And here's the spirit that came up against Naboth. And this you have to recognize in order to get past people. What spirit that they carry on them that Satan is using, identify that function, and then you start counterattacking it by praying against it and calling it out, going into fasting to destroy it. But here's the spirit. Verse 10 says this. Let's go to verse 8. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, placed his seal on them, and sent them to the elders and nobles who lived in Naboth's city with him. I told you he was a man of means. And people, and Satan in people, can recognize where you're going. How are you going to get to your blessing? They recognize there is something about you. The destiny is on your life. How can I stop him? How can I stop her on the way to success? Because if I let that woman get to the place she wants to be, she going to help a lot of people. She going to do this. And I want people to stay bound by my depression and doubts and all of these things. I got to stop her. I got to stop him. So he uses this woman. She wants to be king, but she's nothing but a queen. So she steps in his place. Watch that spirit on people. They'll step out of place and jump in a place of authority that they have no right to be there. And except you're a child of God, you will not recognize the hand of Satan moving in their lives. So she takes the king's thing. She sent a letter and put his seal on it. You see, folks got a devious, scandalous spirit, and being Jezebelic, they know how to get around the system to try to bring you down. And it goes on to say, she said in this letter, proclaim a day of fasting and set Naboth in a prominent place among the people. But seek two scoundrels opposite him and have them testify that he has cursed both God and the king. Then take him out and stone him to death. You have to identify, to get past people, identify that spirit on that individual and you go to bat and war in the Spirit of God, praying and fasting against Satan, using them as puppets. See, Jezebel was politically smart, devious, and ploy. She took her position and manipulated her husband, the king, took her position and manipulated those who were under her. And you got to know that spirit and see it doesn't mean you any good. No matter how nice you try to come back and speak to it and speak to him or her, it is no good. She schemed and said, get two people and set them while he in the place of his assignment. While God has blessed him all the more, place two people and say that he has blasphemed God. See, Satan knows the Bible, but he'll twist it and tweak it to his own demise to destroy the people of God. He knows that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, you can be found guilty. And so he sat there on a high place. He's in his position of prominence. He's where God has called him to be. And then Satan sent two people to try to attack and destroy the very presence and the very means that God had placed them in the place. And they set up and told a lie that he blasphemed his God. And then the very next verse, verse 11. So the elders and nobles who lived in Naboth's city did as Jezebel directed. Verse 12, they proclaimed the fast and seated Naboth in prominent place among the people. Then the two scoundrels came and sat opposite him and brought charges against Naboth before the people, saying that he cursed both God and the king. So they took him outside the city and stoned him to death. When you identify the function of that spirit, you don't go near them individuals. You pray against that. That's the third step of getting past people. The fourth of how to get past people. You've got to look at how long this problem has been going on. How long the problem has been going on with this individual, this person. You look at the history. And you got to see that if you can't get past that person and this problem has been going on like this man for 38 years, then you have to turn around and look at the response that you are giving off to keep this problem alive. What is your response to keep the problem in this person that you're trying to get past alive? Turn with me to 1 Samuel, the 24th chapter. 1 Samuel, the 24th chapter. And we're going to look at King David and his response to a negative person who did not like him, knew he was headed toward blessings, knew he would be the next king, knew that God had anointed him, knew that there was a vision in his life. And for 40 years, David dealt with this individual. But I want to show you as the fourth principle of how to get past people is to show you that David's response to King Saul did not keep that spirit alive. See, as long as you feed that spirit on that individual, they're going to keep coming around, keep doing what they're doing to attack you and to make you get discouraged and to give up altogether. 1 Samuel, the 24th chapter, verse number 14, reads this. Against whom has the king of Israel come out? Now, this is David talking. David has been running, trying to keep Saul from trying to take his life. He worked for the man, and all of a sudden the man couldn't take his anointing, his skills, his gift. And he thought that if he chased him out of that position, then he would have all power. Against whom has the king of Israel come out? Whom are you pursuing? a dead dog, a flea. May the Lord be our judge and decide between us. May he consider my cause and uphold it. May he vindicate me by delivering me from your hand. See, David spoke to the spirit in Saul. And he said to Saul, he says, I am nothing but a flea. I'm a dead dog. There's nothing that I have that you should be trying to take further from me. He says, but the Lord will deliver you, me from your hand. He will consider my cause and he will uphold it. He will vindicate me and deliver me. That's that fourth principle. He did not keep, his response did not keep Saul alive. This is what Saul says in return. When David finished saying this, Saul asked, is that your voice, David, my son? And he wept out loud. You are more righteous than I, he said. When you stand up and you tell people, you don't get into a debating argument with them, but you say, the Lord will vindicate me from your cause. I'm a dead dog already. There's nothing more that you can take from me, King Saul. There's nothing else that I have. It's over, it's done. I'm no longer working under in your palace. I've been on the run for 40 years. What do you want with a flea? And Saul says, you are more righteous than I. You have treated me well, but I have treated you badly. See, David's response did not keep Saul alive. He says, you are more righteous than I. I did you bad. I know I'm wrong about it. You have just now told me of the good you did to me. The Lord delivered me into your hands, but you did not kill me. David had a chance to kill Saul, but he did not do it. His response did not keep the problem alive. It's how you respond to an individual that will enable you to get past them. When they know it doesn't bother you no more, then they stop. When they know they can't succeed anymore, then they'll go find somebody else to harass. But as long as your emotions are codependent and they know they're codependent, they know they can bring up the past on you, they know they can manipulate the past and make you fall under their lethal things that they want you to do, you got people out there. They know that your emotions are hung up into what they say about your past or what you have did. And then they keep using it against you, and then eventually you do whatever they tell you to do. See, you're held captive by the guilt tripping that they place upon you. And you got to realize, you said, I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. If we confess our sins and we believe in our heart, God raised them to death, God shall save us. God shall vindicate us. So the past should not be continued brought up to you and you fall slave to its power and its grip. But you got to know and say, that was yesterday. Today God has delivered me. Fifth thing. The fifth way of getting past people is that the man said, I have nobody. This man said he was laying there. John chapter 5 said he was laying there for 38 years. So it was no longer the social force. It was no longer that he was telling people everything he was going to do. They became jealous and overran him every time it was his time to step in the pool. It was his blessing time and they kept taking it from him. It was no more the social force. It relied in him. He was his own problem to self-recovery, to reaching his destination, his vision of wanting to be completely healed. What do you mean? That means He had a problem with procrastination. 38 years, everybody else keep running down before you getting healed. You got a problem with procrastination, and it is no longer the external force. Stop blaming what you are doing to yourself today. Procrastination will get you nowhere. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 2, and we'll see that Israel done the same thing. Deuteronomy chapter 2. Israel was circling around the mountain for 38 years. It don't take that long for God's blessing to get to a place. But let's say it takes a process. But what they were doing, they never made it to the blessing. Look at verse number 14 in the second chapter of Deuteronomy. Verse 14, and it reads, 38 years passed from the time we left Kadesh Barnea until we crossed the Zered Valley. By then, that entire generation of fighting men had perished from the camp. 38 years from the point they say they're going to do this. They're going to do this. You're going to do this. You're going to do this. Or I'm going to do it tomorrow. You keep putting it off. You keep procrastinating. Because fear has gripped you. And when fear grips you and you listen to fear, then you become a child of Satan. Because if you fear, then Satan's got you under his control and Satan becomes your God. As I continue reading, it said, as the Lord had sworn to them, by then that entire generation of fighting men had perished from the camp, as the Lord had sworn to them. The Lord's hand was against them until he had completely eliminated them from the camp. Procrastination. You're not doing it the way the Lord tells you to do it. Or you got the wrong spirit about doing it. And God could not put that generation in the promised land until he had to strip some things out of their life to make them ready for the blessing. See, they wanted to cheat and jive their way into where the place God wants to get them. And God is not going to put you into that place if you still got a spirit of cheating and jiving and shuffling and finding scandalous and scheming ways to make shortcuts along the route. See, we're peculiar people, and he wants us to be righteous. And the way he's got us to do it is that we got to be clean. In Proverbs says, a false balance is an abomination to God. What does he mean by a false balance? A scale that is tricked. A scale that is jimmied up, or a scale that is, tilted. Yeah, they got it kinked up. Or what's the word? They got it,
unbalanced.
Yeah, they got a little. They make it so that it's like that, so they can continue to gain profit. So in Proverbs says, a false balance is an abomination in the sight of the Lord, and he is not going to put us into that place. You can't get past people if you're the problem with procrastination. It's not them. Stop blaming others. It's you. Quit procrastinating like them. They lost their vision. It was another group that went into the promised land. Do you want to not succeed in the very earth that God put you in to get to that place that he wants you to get? 30 years have passed by now. It's time to go forth. It's time to go in to the next assignment, the next place God has taken you in your life.